Andrew, good morning.
Hey, morning, Tess. How are you?
I'm good, good. What are we having a look at this week?
All right, so book club. I want to start you off with a question.
Okay.
All right. Have you ever loved a book so much that you just wish there was more? Like maybe you wanted to hear of Raskolnikov's further adventures as a vigilante or Emma Woodhouse's later career founding 19th century Tinder?
I have actually. Yeah, there's been a couple of those books where you almost wish there was a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, look, when an author does their job well, we invariably, you know, we want to discover more. And sometimes we get it. Like, there are plenty of series that run in the tens of more editions. It's, you know, is it possible that Jack Reacher could have any more adventures? Like, his knees have got to be going. But look, so we have Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. And this is the epitome of the story that we didn't know we needed right now until we got it. And that was largely due to the Hulu series of last year, based closely on the 1985 novel from Margaret Atwood, and it shook people for what they saw as this like kind of too close reflection, the rise of conservatism in our world. So, you know, we watched it, we debated the parallels, how much could we really extrapolate and learn? People were like, oh my gosh, this is what's going to happen if we keep just trumping on.
Literally.
And then it ended.
Yeah.
On a cliffhanger.
Of course it did.
And we all needed just a little bit more. Because the story was speaking to us. It was our future, maybe. And we just had to see what happened and how we actually got there. Like, maybe if they tell us how we got there, we can avoid it. But there was no sequel. Margaret Atwood hadn't penned a follow-up. Never fear, though, because TV Land can fix it, make it better, faster, stronger. And now we have season 2 of The Handmaid's Tale TV series. But is it okay to do a sequel that isn't actually from the author's pen?
I don't know. I see these floating around. It happened a lot with Game of Thrones as well. They kind of reached a point where they just went off the deep end. But I suppose they were working with George R.R. Martin for that one.
So, I mean, I would say in some ways, it can be brilliant. Like if we look at Jean Rhys's Wide Sargasso Sea, which follows on from Jane Eyre, she penned this really amazing post-colonial feminist look at, I mean, let's face it, Rochester, as much as we want to see him as a romantic hero, he is just awful. Like, you would hope your friends would pull you aside over a coffee and say, you got to get rid of that guy. And then we have George R.R. Martin. He kind of forced our hand. Like, supposedly there are follow-ups, but does anyone even care
anymore? I don't think so.
His prose was getting so bloated, the TV series actually did this really beautiful, necessary thing and made it vibrant again. And look, The Handmaid's Tale, it sits in the middle where we really want something more, but is it okay? And look, I know you haven't seen season 1 yet.
No, I haven't. Mm.
So just a little bit of reference. The Handmaid's Tale is this dystopian vision of the world where government collapse and destruction sees the social order crumble. So, you know, that old chestnut. So in the world of Gilead, which is kind of roughly North America-ish, in the world of Gilead, most of the population is infertile, and those women who can conceive are kind of forced into, actually, you know what? Content warning, tune out if you don't want to hear some heavy stuff, because Handmaid's Tale is heavy.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but I know that it is terrifying.
It is, yeah, it is. So content warning, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, if you need to tune out. So we see women are basically, they're forced into this kind of slavery as handmaids, and they're effectively raped by their commanders to propagate and continue the human race. And so the book follows this central character of Offred. We probably don't have enough time to get into the names and all of that, but it's, suffice to say, it's, again, still pretty horrid. The book follows Offred and her struggle to survive and find some measure of hope in the world. And I'm not going to ruin anything here. It is hard to discuss a new season without some reference to the previous season and the finale. Just the posters for season 2, which you've seen on buses and bus shelters and everywhere. Just the fact that those seasons, they promote Elizabeth Moss. She's very prominent on the posters. That's going to tell you a lot about what happens at the end of the first season. It's kind of hard to miss. So anyway, the book and the first season, they end on a cliffhanger. The fate of Offred's in the balance. And for me, this is perfect literary fodder. I want a book to do this. I enjoy a novel that's asked me to rise up to the challenge of the narrative. It's engaged me with ideas. And then it's trusted me to employ my intellect to reach a conclusion, to say, okay, this is what I think happened. That's making you think. It's also really clever of an author. You're getting the reader, you're tempting the reader to engage with others. Let's talk about this. Oh my gosh.
What do you think happened? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
How often do you find water cooler book stuff? There were also clues for those that wanted to seek them out. The book had a historical notes section that followed the main narrative, and it had pointers on what happened beyond the final page. But season two, we have our answer. And I'm not saying anything too much. I'm not going to tell you about individual characters. That would be a low blow for those of you that are still working through the story and, you know, or yet to start the story. I personally, though, I found it really hard going. I'm still making my way through because this for me, it's not binge material. You're watching season one, you're watching season two, you're engaging with some of the most horrific things that I think can happen in our world that you can live through. And you don't want to watch the next episode straight away. It's really emotionally grueling just to go into the world of Gilead. Season two of The Handmaid's Tale, though, it clearly signals this intention to continue with the themes of oppression and freedom, how they relate to our contemporary world. And look, we see more of the events that lead up to the collapse, and they're expanded on. The narrative just grows, giving us the backgrounds to a lot of the characters that I guess you're either falling in love with or at least intrigued by in the first season. The question to what extent the show is a commentary or perhaps a warning on contemporary America is going to continue as well in the second season. So if that was something people were engaging with, I think you're going to want to keep watching. Issues of the free press are reflected in what looks really frightening and eerie, especially, I mean, I think it was only very recently we had a bomb set off outside a newspaper office. There's been some really horrible things happening in France, happening in America, attacking the free press. Similarly, we are seeing warnings, I guess, on how the impact that a rise in conservatism may have on something that we're really only still getting used to, this idea of same-sex marriage rights. I haven't seen the whole second season yet. It's still something I find too difficult to binge. I need to take a break every now and again. But as a sequel, one that extends on the author's original vision, it's absolutely working for me. I'd happily take more works like this that are critically engaging us with both the literary source and also our own world. So this is kind of perfect stuff for me when it comes to taking a book and running with it.
Well, it sounds really cool. I mean, like I said, I haven't actually seen the first season. I've embargoed myself. I'm not allowed to see it until I've read the book. But
it's such a hot topic, though. What is your impression? Is your impression that, like, this is something that I must see? Or are you just sort of like, I feel like I've gotten enough of people's discussion that I'm just going to live in the real world, which is frightening enough?
I'm a little bit scared, to be honest. The conversations I've heard surrounding it, you know, as you just mentioned, it kind of deals with some of the worst possible things that can befall a human being. And I'm a little bit scared. I think I've subconsciously put it off, I think, because I do want to watch it, but I'm not sure how much fun I'm going to have doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it would almost, you could almost make a case for it being gratuitous, except that it's not, because it's only one or two steps from real life.
Well, I know I've seen an interview with Margaret Atwood, who, you know, even though the book was published in 1985, she said, "I didn't put anything in this book that wasn't already happening to women somewhere."
Mm.
And that's scary.
And she's been involved in both the first season and the second season. It's really interesting to see her engage with the production as well. So there's been talk about the way the Hulu production has, or more appropriately, hasn't dealt with race. Margaret Atwood's original book was very white. I think by design, there were definitely comments about what had happened to the population at this kind of collapse. And the series has deliberately changed that up, but not enough to a lot of people's liking. They haven't dealt specifically with that issue of race and how that plays out in Gilead. So it's just really exciting to see the way a popular culture can engage like this.
It's, definitely an interesting topic. Do we have any idea what we're having a look at next week?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. This is going to be another hard one. So I'm going to give a preview for people. It's It's actually releasing, I think it's releasing today. So this will be a preview of Behrouz Behchani's memoir, No Friend But the Mountains.
Oh, Behrouz Behchani.
Behrouz Behchani is, well, he's known as an activist.
He's on Manus.
He's a journalist and he's imprisoned on Manus Island.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize he'd written a book.
Yeah, so he has written a book. It is a memoir. I'm reading it at the moment. Let's save it for next week. I'm going to give people a preview. It's going to be something that I think is going to be very hard but very necessary to engage with. So I'm really excited to bring it to people.
Well, thanks so much, Andrew.
My pleasure, Tess.